You're listening to What's New with Wired.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. You know, some things take a lot of work, like sending little robots to far-off distant planets. And just as that's challenging, so too is running a successful e-commerce business, especially when there's so much to do. So I want to introduce you all to ShipStation. Now, I love using ShipStation because of its easy-to-use dashboard, which makes managing orders and printing labels a breeze and super smooth. Oh, and the customer service is just out of this world. It's exactly what you need to help grow your business. Sign up for your free 60-day trial at ShipStation.com/technews. That's ShipStation.com/technews.
This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Each episode features insight you won't find anywhere else from the center of the conversation surrounding emerging technologies like AI. Right now on the podcast, you can hear a special episode where Brad Smith lays out Microsoft's vision for a vibrant marketplace driving the new AI economy. To hear more, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to What's New with Wired.
It's Wednesday, April 26th. I'm Zeke Robison. Today, we're talking about the internet that Tucker Carlson built. Make sure to listen to the end to find out what other Wired podcasts you can check out today. On April 14th, Eva Vlaardingerbroek told Tucker Carlson's primetime show that the Dutch government was opening insect factories to force people to eat bugs as a compliance test to see how pliable they'd be to state control. "Our politicians know that when they control the food, they control the people," she said. Vlaardingerbroek, a 26-year-old political commentator from Amsterdam, was an occasional guest on Fox's Tucker Carlson Tonight, railing against globalism and elites and alleging that European governments are using the threat of climate change, which she calls a so-called crisis, to rule by fear. Vlaardingerbroek isn't anything like a mainstream figure in the Netherlands, but the fictional version of her country she draws is useful for Carlson. Her Netherlands, the pilot country for an organization like the World Economic Forum and the tester kit of the 2030 Agenda, supports his narrative that a liberal takeover of the U.S. would lead to climate lockdowns and compulsory bug eating. But by elevating fringe characters and encouraging them to repeat or reference unfounded conspiracy theories, Carlson, who was suddenly dumped by Fox News yesterday, has helped bring often dangerous misinformation into the mainstream around the world. Tucker Carlson isn't just an American problem. He's a dark spot tracking across the global internet. His evening slot was Fox's most-watched show, pulling in 3.5 million viewers a night. But clips of his show posted on social media have had a far greater reach, appearing across anti-vax groups and globalist conspiracy theory groups like QAnon. He has had a particular hold on international far-right movements, which have latched on to Carlson's amplification of the white supremacist Great Replacement Theory, the idea that white people are being deliberately and systematically replaced by non-white people. The narratives he's pushed have been picked up and amplified by Russian disinformation campaigns across Europe and the U.S. and used as propaganda tools by authoritarians. Fox News launders these extreme ideas and brings them into mainstream discussions, says Bharath Ganesh, who studies online disinformation and hate speech at the University of Groningen in the Netherlands. Far-right groups talk about the Great Replacement Theory in their own circles, he says. Then Tucker Carlson picks it up, and then it gets pushed out. Carlson's exit came days after Fox News agreed to pay $787 million to settle a defamation suit by Dominion Voting Machines, a polling technology company. Dominion had accused Fox of spreading the lie that its machines had been used to skew the 2020 presidential election results. It's unclear whether the two events are linked, but Carlson did repeatedly give a platform to proponents of the big lie that the election was stolen from then-incumbent Donald Trump. And in the wake of the January 6th insurrection, in which thousands of Trump supporters descended on the Capitol, Carlson defended the rioters, saying the footage showed peaceful chaos after selectively editing down Capitol surveillance footage provided by House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. 7 people died as a result of the violence, and nearly 140 police officers were injured. On his show, which had aired since 2017, Carlson spun a story of a U.S. that is relentlessly under attack from the forces of liberalism and wokeism, one where immigration, affirmative action, and attempts to confront the country's history of slavery are a direct attack on white America. In many ways, Carlson treated his program as a mirror for far-right communities, says Jared Holt, senior researcher on hate and extremism at the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, a think tank. Holt believes that Carlson's team was highly attuned to far-right subcultures online, and that the topics Carlson addressed in his show were heavily informed by them. I can't tell you how many times I've seen conversations happening among reactionaries on Twitter, or among faceless trolls on 4chan, only to see it pop up on Tucker Carlson's show a day or two later, he says. In 2020, one of the writers on Carlson's show was fired for posting racist, sexist, and homophobic content on the 4chan-like message board AutoAdmit. The ethno-nationalism of Carlson's content resonates internationally because the online far-right is global, with communities in Europe, Latin America, and Australia overlapping, sharing spaces and stories. Groups in one country will often cherry-pick news stories in another to reinforce broader points. Overplaying the social impact of the influx of Syrian refugees into Europe in 2016, for example, helped build the case for the Great Replacement Theory and support anti-immigration groups in the U.S. and Australia. Such conspiracies can echo back and forth between countries, gathering momentum as they do so. Pushing the idea that London, whose popular left-wing Muslim mayor is a target of hate on Fox, is in violent chaos and terminal decline helps demonstrate the supposed dangers of liberal rule. But the lie then enters a feedback loop, with UK far-right groups picking up Fox's coverage and using it to validate their own prejudices. Anywhere you see this international far-right movement, you see what we call appropriation, says Julian Drugin, associate professor of terrorism studies at Macquarie University in Sydney, Australia. This was most evident during the COVID pandemic, when far-right conspiracy theory groups used the real sense of crisis to drive their own narratives. It became all about white genocide and a plan to kind of install a liberal world government that was going to undermine white people and so on, Drugin says. There is still a significant overlap between white supremacist communities and anti-vax groups online. Fox and Carlson have a prominent place in COVID disinformation circles, too. Screenshots of Carlson appear alongside coronavirus misinformation circulated in the Spanish-language Telegram group Verdades Ofenden, Offensive Truths, with more than 15,000 subscribers. Posts from this channel are regularly circulated in other Spanish-language and Latin American-focused disinformation channels, including those run by a network called Médicos por la Verdad, Doctors for the Truth. The group was removed from Facebook in 2021 for violating the platform's COVID misinformation policies, but its several Telegram groups have a combined total of around 98,000 members. Drugin worked on several studies on the online far-right for the Australian government following a 2019 terrorist attack on two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand, by a white supremacist who had allegedly been radicalized online. He calls Carlson's reinforcement of the Great Replacement Theory the most dangerous of his actions. That theory has been cited as motivation by several white supremacist terrorists, including the perpetrator of the Christchurch shootings. There is, Drugin says, an implicit violence in this theory, particularly when it's filtered through a U.S. perspective. American mainstream media, and Fox in particular, gives platforms to people who use conspiracist terminology, including references to elites and globalists and nods to the Great Reset, like those made by Vlaardinger Brock, in a way that rarely happens on broadcast television in Europe or Australia. It's impossible to draw a direct line between content on Tucker Carlson Tonight and political events inside or outside the U.S., but his place within the information ecosystem means he's been, at the very least, a passive participant in some startling coincidences. Carlson has echoed Russian talking points on Ukraine and criticized the U.S. government for supporting the government in Kyiv. Several researchers told Wired that Fox, and in particular Carlson, have been useful tools for Russia, amplifying narratives about the dangers of liberalism and the impending collapse of Western civilization. When news of his firing broke, Kremlin propagandist Vladimir Solovyov offered Carlson a job. Yesterday, Vlaardinger Brock posted a picture on Twitter of herself with an arm around Carlson. Tucker is the best of the best in the industry. He tells the truth like no one else does, in a way no one else can. I stand with him 100%, she wrote, before retweeting the right-wing conspiracy theorist Mike Cernovich, who claimed that Carlson's firing meant that the evil ones will try to win and remove him from history and commence another Armenian-style genocide against all of us. Make sure to check out our other Wired podcasts. Today in Wired Business, Ford jumpstarts its attempt to revive Detroit. Checking in on Wired Science, a private moon lander is kicking off a commercial lunar race. And on Wired Security, Google's Authenticator app just got a handy new 2FA tool. Listen to these stories and more at wired.com/podcasts. Thanks for listening to Wired. Check back in tomorrow to hear more stories from wired.com.